There are many things that can get in the way of our fitness. Busy schedules, you can have uncooperative weather, the lure of the couch. Sometimes that can be almost too hard to overcome. Hard but not impossible. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Lucky to have Ann Swartz with us today. She's an associate professor and director of the MS Kinesiology Program in the Department of Kinesiology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's also the co-director of UWM's Physical Activity and Health Research Lab, and she's joining us today from our Milwaukee studios. Ann, thanks so much for spending time with us today. Are you there, Ann? Well, let's see. We're having a little problem here getting her. We'll try it again here. Ann, are you there? Not finding her. Well, tell you what. We will hold off on Ann. Maybe we'll get to get in with her. I really wanted to talk with her today because there's some research out that shows or that seems to show that physical activity is so important that it's a the lack of physical activity is a greater risk to your health than if you smoke cigarettes. Now, I can't, you know, if you're there's no way that a lack of physical activity is probably going to give you lung cancer, and you can certainly get lung cancer from smoking. So there has to be more to it, and I was really looking forward to talking with her about it. It was published in Lancet to coincide with the buildup of the Olympics. So it's an article that's been out a little while, but it estimates that about a third of adults are not doing enough physical activity, and that causes somewhere around 5 million deaths a year, and that equates to about 1 in 10 deaths from diseases like heart disease, diabetes, breast and colon cancer, that sort of thing. And researchers are saying the problem is now so bad it should be treated as a pandemic. And they said it's tackling it requires really some new ways of thinking. And they're suggesting the public needs to be warned about the dangers of inactivity rather than just reminded of the benefits of being active. And, you know, there's some truth to that. We do talk a lot about being active and, you know, how good it is for you to be active. But we don't spend as much time, I don't think, talking about the reasons for being or the problems for not being active. So they had 33 researchers, and they drew those from centers across the world. And the governments need to look at ways, according to their recommendations, to make physical activity more convenient, to make it more affordable, and to make it safer. And so they're recommending, and some interesting recommendations here. How much exercise do you get in a week? And let's say moderate exercise. Now that would be like a brisk walk, or if you go bicycling, or maybe you're gardening. Just brisk walks around your neighborhood. They are recommending that you and I do about 150 minutes of moderate exercise each week. So that's what is that? 2.5 hours a week. So if you did say four times a week, you did a half an hour. You would have, so four times a week for about a half an hour of moderate exercise, like brisk walking or cycling or gardening, you'd be much better off. And now I think we have found Ann Swartz, who is a PhD, associate professor and director of the MS Kinesiology Program in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Milwaukee. And she's joining us to talk about this whole business of keeping ourselves fit. Ann, are you there?
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Great. Wonderful.
It's wonderful to have you here. I was just going through, as we were trying to reach you, I was going through this article that we had on the lack of exercise causing so many deaths. It's causing as many deaths as smoking around the world.
You know, I was listening in, and you did a fantastic job of summarizing the research. It was the articles that you're referring to were in a special issue of Lancet, and some of the world's premier scholars got together and published this special issue that focused on physical activity and the harmful effects of not engaging in enough physical activity. And as you mentioned, one of the statistics that caught most people's attention was when they compared a lack of physical activity to smoking, and both of those being as harmful as each other. Specifically, what it showed is that inactivity caused about 9% of premature mortality, or more than 5.3 of the 57 million deaths that occurred worldwide in 2008, which is equivalent to the deaths that were caused by tobacco. Now, you suggested you had posed some questions about physical inactivity not causing lung cancer, and you're right, it doesn't, but it does contribute to other what we would classify as non-communicable diseases, such as coronary heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
It has been shown to cause about 6% of coronary heart disease, about 7% of type 2 diabetes, about 10% of breast cancer, and about 10% of colon cancer. So it is a significant public health issue.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think what these authors were really trying to do is by comparing it to smoking, is really help people understand how significant of a health issue it really is.
You know, I'm wondering, you've got, let's say we've got somebody who's 60 years old, overweight, saying, you know what, probably too late for me anyway to start up. Is there a benefit no matter when you start this?
Oh, absolutely. And it's never too late. There's benefits. There's physiological benefits or psychological benefits. There's benefits to your overall quality of life. And those benefits have been seen with engaging in as little activity as 10 minutes per day. And so, you know, if you just can increase your physical activity level by doing maybe a 10-minute walk at lunch or, you know, right after dinner, and even move towards doing that 10-minute walk three times a day, then you can see significant changes in your physiology, in your levels of depression, and your quality of life. It's going to be easier to carry those groceries in from the car, you know, after you've gone to the grocery store and things like that. So.
Well, I agree with you. I really think that, and it's such a small amount of time considering.
Right.
Everything.
It is. Yeah, it is a small amount, and it's a starting place is an important message. You know, we want to start someplace, and doing something is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to start increasing that physical activity a little bit more and a little bit more, because the way that we improve is by pushing our systems a little bit, you know, beyond mm-hmm. what they're comfortable with. And that's the way that we can improve our health and improve our fitness levels. So mm-hmm. doing something is very important, but continuing to strive to improve is also very important.
Barbara in Madison has a question or comment, I think. Barbara, hi. Thank you for calling. Barbara, are you there?
Doing something is very important.
Ah. We lost Barbara, I think. Let's go to Michelle in Madison. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I'll take my answer off the air. I'm just curious what the difference is between, like, when you're talking about a sedentary person, I'm envisioning somebody who has a desk job all day and then goes home and they're not doing anything active at home and they're not working out versus somebody who is pretty active. I have a 2-year-old. I rarely sit down. But I don't really go actively work out, but I'm just on the go all the time. But I don't go to the gym and, like, yep. you know, do a specific exercise program. But I don't feel like I'm a sedentary person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, So that was my question. I'll just take my answer off the air.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle. That's a great question. It brings up an important point. When we talk about being sedentary, what we're really talking about is engaging in behavior that that results in very little energy expenditure, and that's done while sitting or reclining. Now, most of the research, and in particular in this Lancet issue, they really looked at inactivity. And what inactivity is not meeting those physical activity guidelines. And so sedentary behavior is different than inactivity. What Michelle does, being busy all day long, she is engaging in physical activity. And her physical activity is for the purpose of, as I kind of gathered it, is for the purpose of doing her daily activities and playing with her children and helping to care for her children, which can and does help benefit her health. That any activities that are above what we would classify as a moderate level can and have been shown to improve health, the health of an individual. And so what she's doing, running around, taking care of her children, that is an exhausting job.
Yes. Yes,
and,
it is.
And it does help promote better levels of blood glucose. It helps keep her blood pressure down. Now, not saying that, you know, if she decided to take on an exercise regime, she may see even more improvement. But she should give herself a pat on the back, and because she is an active individual and consistently doing something throughout the day and consistently throughout the week doing activities. So good job, Michelle.
Good job. Barbara in Madison. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi, Barbara.
Well, I'm sorry. I was multitasking. I was trying to make lunch, and I didn't know that when you said Barbara that it was too late to get on. But here I am. The reason I called, Larry, I thought your guest wasn't showing up, and I wanted to give you a helping hand, but I also wanted to make a testimonial for seniors. I'm an 86-year-old senior, and I like to tell people that when I go to my health club because it gives all those 60-year-old people who think they're ancient to let them know they really can have a vibrant existence. I do water walking, and I can't wait to get to my club. I only live a mile away, and they have a warm water pool, and I just feel so wonderful. I don't have any pains in my body. I don't have to take any meds. So it's possible for seniors to have a very healthful existence through exercise, not only physical, but mental.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for calling very much. And Anne, I'm pretty sure you're going to be agreeing with Barbara.
Oh, absolutely. I love hearing stories and testimonials such as that. Barbara, I think, is a great example of the benefits of leading a physically active lifestyle. She mentioned, you know, that she didn't have the aches and pains and she wasn't taking any medications. And these are benefits that have been shown time and time again in the research that we can benefit from physical activity. One other thing that I did want to mention after Barbara's call is that one of the other interesting statistics that was brought up in the Lancet article was that engaging in regular, moderate-intensity physical activity can lengthen your lifespan, and lengthen your lifespan in terms of a quality years, which it definitely sounds like Barbara's got some quality years that she's engaging in right now. So,
Absolutely. So
nice job, Barbara.
Absolutely. Ann Swartz, our guest today, associate professor and director of the MS Kinesiology Program in the Department of Kinesiology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, as we talk with her about being fit, getting fit, staying fit. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kinesiologist Ann Swartz from the UW-Milwaukee, our guest today as we talk about the importance of maintaining fitness for our health. Call in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Bill in Madison has a question for you, and let's go there. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I'm part of what you were, what another caller was referring to. I am that overweight 60-year-old, but I was fairly fit until I was about 50, and then I had fairly healthy. I had very, very few health problems. Gosh, I don't want to tell you my whole life story. Anyway, I was diagnosed with, you know, I have epilepsy. I have, for which I'm taking nasty meds to keep in check. I've suffered bouts of serious depression and, you know, chronic depression, which I basically still struggle with. I have, I was involved in a serious car accident, which seriously injured me. So for quite a while, I was not able to exercise in the ways that I used to. And now I'm in a position where I'm 60, I'm fat, and I'm pretty much unemployable. And why the hell bother? And I used to live in a neighborhood where it was actually physically unsafe to go out walking because, you know, it was, I just didn't have the money. I was living in a neighborhood where it was, you know, it was worth your life to take a walk. Now I don't have that excuse. Things are better financially for me, and I'm living in a better neighborhood, and I just don't have any motivation to do it. And nothing my doctor's been able to say and nothing my rational mind has told me about the benefits of it has been able to get me out there and get moving. Any thoughts?
All right. Yeah, Bill?
Yeah,
okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bill. I think you, the one thing I want to say is 60 is a young age, and there's a lot that you can do to improve your health and help you lose a little bit of weight and get more active, and the engaging in the activity will help lower your levels of depression and help control that. But you bring up, I think, a really interesting challenge that we have is motivation, and motivation to do the physical activity and engage in the physical activity. And so far, since about the 1970s is when we really started pushing exercise and physical activity to improve health. And we've really focused on an individual level approach, you know, trying to talk with individuals and motivate individuals to become more physically active. And, you know, for some people that works, but then for other people that doesn't work. And so then, you know, we need to look at a broader view of how we address this issue of inactivity and looking at the culture and the environment in which we live. You know, technology is such a fantastic thing, but what we have essentially done is we've engineered physical activity out of our lives. We tend to drive most places instead of walk, and, you know, we have a lot of labor-saving devices that we have. And so as researchers, one of our biggest challenges is getting beyond looking at just the individual and how do we change the individual environment or the individual behavior, but looking at the environment and how do we make the environment more inviting to be physically active. But for your particular situation, Bill, you know, there's a lot of factors that can help with individual motivation. And one key factor that has been shown time and time again is finding somebody to engage in the activity with. And maybe doing that activity for a particular purpose so that you aren't necessarily thinking that you're being physically active. So, for instance, since you mentioned you live in a neighborhood that you can get out and walk in, maybe it's a neighborhood where there is a grocery store close by. And so, you know, going to the grocery store, walking to the grocery store on a daily basis to pick up a couple small groceries and bring them back, that's going to get you some physical activity. But it's also going to be a very utilitarian activity. So you're not necessarily going to be thinking about, oh, I'm going out for my exercise today. You're going to think, oh, I'm going out to get my quart of milk or whatever it happens to be. And finding somebody to do it with is also very important, because the more you enjoy the activity, the more you're going to continue to engage in the activity. And that's really what's important, is starting the activity but continuing with that activity, because that's when you'll see the benefits.
And kind of this sort of relates to a Facebook question from Marie. Due to multiple sclerosis, I'm far less active than I want to be. The less I move, the worse I feel, but I'm so unsteady and struggle with lack of sensation. Any tips that might help me?
Yeah. So, you know, one thing is to start by talking with your physician about what, if they have any particular recommendations. The water is always a great activity. If you can get in the pool with somebody else, and I think it was Barbara who mentioned she does water walking. But there's, you know, water aerobics or swimming or being able to get in the pool and move your body and stress those muscles a little bit will be able to help improve your overall well-being.
Let's turn to Barbara in Superior next. Hi, Barbara.
Hi there. Say, I'm curious, are there any benefits to standing up? From the moment I wake up, I make my coffee, I drink it standing up, I eat my breakfast standing up, I read the newspaper, dinner, I rarely sit down, but the only time I sit down is if I'm driving a car or, you know, I have dinner out with someone. But are there any benefits to standing up versus sitting down? Thank you.
Oh, Barbara, that was a great example of what researchers are now actually looking into. We find that people spend so much time sitting down, and we're now beginning to look at the negative health consequences of being sedentary. And then we're looking at how do we break up this sedentary time? How do we get people to stand more? And what we find is that individuals who stand more actually expend more energy than do individuals who sit down. And so it's not, you know, when you look at it on a minute-by-minute basis, it's not a huge amount of energy difference. But when you look at it over the course of a day or a week, then that extra energy expenditure can add up. So standing up and not only helps with weight control, but it also helps, especially if you're standing up and sitting down, it helps with strengthening of the legs, the quadriceps, the upper thigh muscles. Doing that standing up and sitting down will help strengthen those muscles. And so, Barbara, you're at the edge of the cutting edge of what research is going on right now within the world of physical activity and inactivity.
Ann Swartz, Associate Professor, Director of Kinesiology at the UW-Milwaukee, our guest. And Sarah in Heartland has a question for you, Ann. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. My question is what to classify myself as. I am a student nurse. I'm graduating in December. I plan to be on my feet. I'm on my feet all the time now. I plan to be on my feet in my real grown-up job. And then when I get home, I have two small children, and I walk the dog twice a day. And in terms of weight maintenance and weight control, I prefer to count my calories because I really don't like to do a lot of vigorous exercise. I just prefer not to. So I guess in that, you know, you go into the programs and they say, well, what's your activity level? And I guess I don't really know what to classify myself as because obviously I'm not sedentary, but, you know, I'm not, you know, running marathons all day long.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, Larry.
No, go ahead, Ann.
Sarah, that's an interesting question. You are, it does sound like you're quite an active individual. And remember that when we talk about physical activity, what we're looking at is we're not just looking at exercise, but we're looking at the activity that you engage in your occupation, which it sounds like, you know, as a nurse, you're walking the floors back and forth and on your feet all day long. So there's occupational activity. There's leisure time physical activity. Excuse me. There's transportation activity, so walking to and from the store, walking to and from work, and then there's also household activity, and that incorporates childcare and things like that. And so when you look at your overall activity, if you're engaging in a lot of walking at work and you're engaging in a lot of household activity, then you're definitely going to be accumulating more than 30 minutes of activity on a daily basis. And so if somebody were to ask me that question and I was living your life, I would say, well, I'm not a regular exerciser, but I'm a very active individual. And then you can provide a little bit more background on what exactly you do, and then they will hopefully provide some suggestions on other things maybe that you can do to help, you know, if that's a goal, to help improve your health even more.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for calling,
You're
Sarah.
Welcome, sir.
Dean in Milwaukee. Hi. Dean, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry, you kind of cut out a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Awesome. I just wanted to make a comment that I'm 24, and a lot of people ask me, like, how do I do it? Because I usually work at 4:30 in the morning, and people ask me, like, how do I do it? But I go to the gym before I go to work, and I find that if I don't go to the gym and if I don't work out and stay physically active throughout the week, I find that my thoughts aren't really as streamlined, and I'm not as you know, intelligent or as, you know, active as I usually am. And I don't know, I felt like I'm more accomplished. I even signed up for a physical conditioning class at UW. I'm never on Mondays and Wednesdays, which I ironically missed today on accident. But I don't know, it's something that people, I feel like everyone should really make time for and should really, like, incorporate into the schedule.
Right. You do bring up a good point that exercise, it does help individuals focus. You know, it depending on the time that works best for you, it sounds like you're a early morning person, and so am I. I like to exercise early in the morning, but for some people, the early mornings don't necessarily work. The key is finding out when in the day that exercise, you enjoy the exercise the most, and then being consistent with that. But making time for exercise is very important, but it also is really difficult because we're all very, very busy people. We're extraordinarily scheduled, and we try and pack as much into our day as possible. And so thinking about adding another 30 minutes of exercise, and then you think about the showering and whatever else you have to do before and after, the preparations and things like that, you know, then you're really talking about an hour of your time. And for some people, that's an extraordinary amount of time to try and fit into a day that's already well packed. And that's, you know, something that we have to try and figure out and work into our schedules if it's a priority for us, which most of the data support that we should really be trying to be physically active. But if that's not a possibility, then doing short 10-minute bouts, maybe where you can keep your shoes under your desk at work and, you know, in a mid-morning break, take a 10-minute walk. At lunch, take a 10-minute walk. And then in the afternoon, take a 10-minute walk. And there you've got your 30 minutes of activity in during the day. So yep. Thank you, Dean.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Elaine in Colfax, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I think there's an impression that exercise is something you have to force yourself to do, but I think if you find the right exercise, it's exhilarating. For me, that's dancing, and I really look forward to it. I dance almost every day for an hour, and if I go out of town, my husband and I look for live music to go dancing to, and that's kind of interesting when you go to another town or have to stay overnight somewhere. And it's kind of like a runner looking for a place to run. I look for a place to dance.
Uh-huh.
But I also walk, and I had a pretty serious back injury years ago, and I had trouble dancing. So, I mean, it was just like something was taken from me. It was just horrible. And so I would dance, and I'd have back pain, and it'd be really bad for a couple days or maybe a week. But what I found is by dancing every day, my back is so much better, just gradually increasing. I took Zumba classes. That's how I got into doing it every day, where you're wiggling your waist and hips, and I'm surprised at how my core has strengthened and actually improved my back after a serious back injury. It doesn't mean I don't have back problems. I do, but this is, you know, really improved my overall quality of life.
Zumba, one of my wife's favorite things.
It is. It's so much fun. It really is. But you bring up a great point that exercise should be fun. It should be something that we want to engage in. I went for a bike ride with my kids the other day, and just seeing the smiles on their faces, kids really enjoy being physically active. And for some reason, you're right, Elaine, that sometimes the message with exercise is that it has to be, you know, we have to sweat so much and it has to be, you know, so vigorous that it really can be kind of painful. And that's not necessarily true. We want exercise to be fun, and we want people to enjoy exercise so that they continue to do it. And there are so many fun ways to engage in exercise. You bring up dancing, which is so much fun, and Zumba classes. But finding that activity that's really fun for you will help you stick with the exercise or the physical activity program.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Elaine.
Thank you very much for calling. Marcus in Green Bay, hello to you. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I thought that I almost had to call in because of a previous caller, the 60-year-old guy who says he's overweight, and it touched me so much that I just wanted to share something. But I struggle, too, with, depression for many, many years, and then, you know, medications and all that. And then one day, about 8 years ago, I pulled my bike out of my garage. I used to ride my bike a lot. And it just changed everything so much, and that was one of the things that helped me get out of it. But I still have bouts of depression, and then in the meantime, my knees have gone, so I'm getting them replaced this winter. So, and then my lower back has gone out, so I had to switch bikes, and I have a bike where I put a big, kind of an oversized seat on it. The handlebars are high, and I sit really erect. It's, I guess, ergonomically perfect. And so I also, my car died, you know, a few years ago, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I love my bike so much. And most of the places I go for shopping and everything are kind of close by, but the time that I'm on my bike, my knees do not bother me, my back doesn't bother me, and my state of mind is just so great. And anybody who knows me knows this. My family, people around apartments, you know, I have all these. And it's also a way for me to get out of the apartment, which is real important to me because I can't go for my walks anymore and stuff, and I kind of had to quit my part-time job here at the apartment. But I just, that bike has been, like, the greatest thing in my life. And I'm a heavy smoker, you know, and I don't, you know, really ride fast or anything. I do get my cardio up once in a while, but it's just getting out on it and getting around. It's just, it's been a lifesaver for me for sure, and I just wanted to, I don't know, share that.
Mm. Marcus, thanks for calling. Ann Swartz, a comment?
Yeah, I really love hearing stories like that, hearing about how people enjoy their exercise and how the exercise has really helped them in whatever way it has helped them. Because for me, exercise is a way of life. And, you know, this is, of course, what I study, but it's also how I lead my life. And so I love hearing the success stories of individuals. So keep sharing them.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, Marcus. And let's see, we have... caller really wanted to reach out to Bill, who had the health issues and depression. We can go along with this last caller. She said her husband explained to her that he doesn't have willpower. He just makes up, and he's had some depression. So he just makes up his mind, I am going to do it. And he just goes and does it. So he just, it's probably not the most positive way to go about it, but work for them.
Yeah, and you know, the bottom line is you have to figure out what works for you, and if that works for him, then that's fantastic. He should stick with it.
Somebody wanted to know more about the bad things about no exercise.
Right, yes.
They wanted to hear more about that.
Yeah, there's the Lancet issue that we've been talking quite a bit about that came out in July of 2012, talks quite a bit about the negative aspects of sedentary behavior and inactivity. And we shared some statistics earlier, but I think these statistics are really important in that physical activity is a significant predictor of many what we classify as non-communicable diseases, such as cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, some cancers, poor skeletal health, and some aspects of mental health, including depression, as we've been discussing here. It's also a contributor to overall mortality and as well as poor quality of life. So there's a lot of negative aspects of inactivity. And the interesting thing is, even though those have been gaining a lot of popular press, we still have very high rates of inactivity. In the Lancet study, Halal and colleagues looked at the prevalence of inactivity. And what they found is that about 43.3% of individuals in the Americas, so North America and South America, would be classified as inactive, meaning that they don't meet those physical activity recommendations. And then they went on to look at sedentary behavior. And one aspect of sedentary behavior that is very commonly assessed is TV viewing time and hours sitting. And what they found is that over 55% of adults in the Americas, so North and South America, spend more than 4 hours per day sitting. And so if we can...
Sitting in front of the television?
Sitting in front of the television, sitting in front of the computer, what we broadly classify as screen time. Yeah, and so if we can somehow change these percentages and decrease the amount of time that we spend being sedentary, then we can do a lot to improve our health. Because we know that physical activity has been shown to reduce rates of all-cause mortality, coronary heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, type 2 diabetes, depression, and the list goes on. And so there are a lot of benefits of being physically active and a lot of negative health consequences to leading a sedentary lifestyle.
Shirley in Elkhorn, thanks for calling.
Hi. I would highly recommend anyone who's a senior citizen, I'm not sure, I think you have to be 62 or older, or it might be 55, the Silver Sneakers program.
Yes.
We have Humana Insurance, and I think it's covered by other plans too, Blue Cross Blue Shield and several others, I believe. I go 4 days a week, and we have 2 days our yoga classes and 2 days our muscle strength and range of movement. And we use weights and we use bands, and you can work at your own level. Some people exercise just sitting in a chair, and I've been doing it since January. When I started, I could hardly move. My knees, both of my knees hurt, my back hurt, my hips hurt, and I feel so, so much better since I started these classes, and I'd highly recommend it for anyone. We have people who are on oxygen. We have people who come in using a walker. They're absolutely wonderful, the instructors. I go to the Four Lakes Athletic Club in Elkhorn.
You know, it's because we're starting to run out of time here. But thank you so much, Shirley. I wanted to give Ann time to respond.
Shirley, you're right. The Senior Sneakers program is an excellent program and not only provides classes that are geared towards improving health for older adults, but it also provides, you know, a great group of people who are interested in improving their health and improving their health through physical activity. So you can go there and gain some support from your friends and your colleagues in that class, as well as being active. I would also encourage people to check out their local facilities. I know here in Milwaukee that the Milwaukee County Department on Aging does have free facilities at some of their senior centers located throughout Milwaukee County for seniors to come in and use the exercise facilities. And so check out your local communities to see if there's anything available for you.
Mm-hmm. And some HMOs give rebates for going to the gym regardless of age, too. So that's something.
Absolutely.
And here's to end with a Facebook comment from Kate. During my exercise class today, I heard about a 69-year-old swimmer who is qualified for the Ironman in Hawaii. She's an inspiration. 69 years old.
That's definitely true. Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's amazing. Yes. Yes.
And you'll come back and be with us again?
I would love to. Oh. This is my favorite topic. I love talking about physical activity.
Well, we love talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ann Swartz, PhD, Associate Professor and Director of the Kinesiology Program, the Master's Program in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Milwaukee. She co-directs the Physical Activity and Health Research Lab at Milwaukee and joins us today from our Milwaukee studios. Well, it's great to have her here, and we definitely will be talking with her again. Coming up next, we'll focus on the science of weather and climate. John Martin and Steve Ackerman, our weather guys, joining us. We'll try to give them a workout on the weather issues here. That's coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.